will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. It's always fascinating as we look back and read the Old Testament, how inclusive and desiring God was for the message of who he was to be spread among the nations. Now, the Israel nation wasn't very good at sharing that. They kind of somewhere along the line missed a lot of the teaching that God had given, that they were to be a light to the nations, that it wasn't something they were to keep to themselves. And that even as Isaiah writes, it's this idea that foreigners would come and bind themselves to the living God, and that his house would be known as a house of prayer for all nations. So we're going to look at several categories, and I'll list the category. I'll give you some suggestions. Again, this is both teaching and practice. You may, as at your table, pray other things than what I'm suggesting. But I begin with the category of the church, and thinking both locally and globally. Many times we think of the church, we think of sometimes we think of the building, but even if we go beyond the building, we think of the group of people that meet in a specific building, which is a part of the church. But the church are the called out ones, those that have been identified with Jesus through his blood. And so all of that within the church. And so some things that you can pray about at your table, things that I typically pray about as I think about the church. Pray for boldness to embrace and proclaim God's truth. Church congregations today struggle with that, to embrace and proclaim God's truth. Pray for a unity of believers. Again, that's actually praying scripture. We talked about praying scripture last night. Jesus prayed for a unity of believers. Probably ought to be a part of our prayer life. Pray about love for those within the body of Christ, and also love for those yet outside. Pray that the church would exemplify integrity and righteousness in all of its activities. Church ought to be the beacon, the lighthouse, set the standard for the right way of doing things, for integrity, for honesty. I'm going to be quiet for just a bit, and so however you want to do it at your table, if we're going to have several categories, so different people can have the opportunity, but if somebody at each table would just pray about the church, you'll have a little bit of time right now to do that. Go. I typically try not to cut into people praying, but sometimes it just does a heart good to hear this concert of prayer. We'll do at least one more category. We'll see how much time we end up with. And you may have prayed some about this already, because it's very tightly connected with the church. And that's the family. And some things that I would suggest, and I pray that parents and children would care for and would care about one another. It just seems like the longer I live, the more independent individuals within a family become. And we just don't have the care for or about each other. We all do our own thing, and at all ages. And I think it's one of the reasons why, the elderly seem to end up on our prayer list of shut-ins, because the family has quit caring about them. They may have lived in a way that you might, as a human, understand why they would have, but it still doesn't make it right. And so I pray that parents and children would care for and care about one another. As I pray for family, I pray that marriage would be seen as an honored and a sacred vow. I pray that families would be involved in activities that would bring them together, rather than constantly everybody doing their own thing. And there's time for that, but we seem to have more of that than not. And as I pray about bringing them together, I also pray that pursuing God together would be a priority within a family. It's our relationship with God is individual. And my kids don't get it from me. I don't get it from my parents. But we can still pursue God together. And it encourages us. So if you would, at your table, spend some time praying for the family, about the family, just the unit of the family, perhaps even your family, families within the congregation. I think the family as an institution, if I can use that word, needs a lot of prayer in our culture. So if you'd pray about that at this point, that'd be great. as you finish up praying for the family, I think as you think about the life that surrounds you, there's so many areas like that that you can pray for. I think of our government, and sometimes we get so political about it that we forget to pray according to Scripture, that as Christians we would be allowed to live peaceable lives so that we can share the gospel. And that we're commanded to pray for those in authority. Not that they do things our way, but that we would have the opportunity to share Jesus. And so I typically pray that those in leadership positions within government would surround themselves, that God would put within them their lives, their cabinet, their Christian people who would be influencers. That those that are leaders would be true followers of Jesus. I think one of the huge areas to pray for is in our country is the whole media industry and just the influence that it has on our culture and on people. And I'm constantly praying that God would raise up faithful Christian people that would make the most of the media that we do have and use it in accurate ways to represent Jesus. I think of our educational system. It definitely isn't, I don't think you talk to very many people that say it's what it ought to be. And part of that is connected with praying for the family, but part of it's connected with praying for the government. But I pray for those that lead within school systems. Number one, that they would recognize the valuable cargo that comes into their building each and every day, and children. And that they would see value in each student and not automatically set some aside because they don't measure up according to whatever standard that they start with. But that they would see each person as having value because they're a creation of God. We're going to wrap it up as our time's come to an end. And as we do so, I just want to go back through just real quick. I'm not going to spend much time on these, but just as a review reminder, we began the conference with the idea of talking first to God. And that's the big section in your booklet. And so the outline's there from the sermon, but there's probably 10 questions that were application that really asked that, what will I do with what I heard? We talked about why pray. What does Scripture say about why we ought to pray? We talked about the element of journaling in prayer and writing things down. We talked about praying with purpose, really praying according to God's will. We talked about listening within our prayer life. We talked about going beyond just praying when it's convenient, praying when it seems appropriate, to being devoted to prayer. I typically, my prayer guides, I always talk about this lifestyle of prayer. And that's what I really get at when I talk about being devoted to prayer. It's just a part of who you are. We looked at praying with Scripture, praying using Scripture, praying in response to Scripture. All of that, and in reality, it just scratches the surface of this subject of prayer. And but the biggest, to me, the biggest teaching tool of prayer is to just do it. I tell groups, and most of the time she's not with me, but I tell groups everywhere I travel, the person who has taught me the most about prayer would be the person most people would say could not teach you anything. And that's Susan. She talks to God as if he's real just as much as you and I. To her, he's right there with her. And we need to have that childlike faith that recognizes he is. And I want to close with another poem. I always felt somewhat self-conscious about using these, and I just keep having people hound me about, why don't you read another poem? So I've started doing more of that within the sessions I teach. This one I chose not so much because of what I've been teaching, but because of the week of the year that it is. It's a poem that God put in my mind a year ago, give or take, after a Good Friday service that was held here at the building. And I was in my office kind of unwinding and getting ready to clean the building and have it ready for Sunday services. And this is the poem that he gave me. I titled it, I Was There. I sit here tonight and pray as I should, as I do reflect on this day we call good. I try to imagine if I had been there, would I have noticed? Would I even care? People are dying out there on that hill. That's just what happens to that kind of swill. The crowd's cheering loudly. Is that my voice too? I want no part of this king that's a Jew. Why do the shouts seem so loud in my ear? What did I do that has brought me so near? It seems I am stuck here, suspended in air. I wish that the truth was this punishment's not fair. But as I consider the things I've done wrong, it starts to sink in. This is where I belong. I lived like I wanted. Life was all about me. It was my sinful choices that put me here on this tree. There are two men here with me. Quite different are they. As I listen closely, I hear one of them pray. Father, forgive them, were the words that I heard. From where I am hanging, that sure sounds absurd. The other man's yelling and mocking the first. As the man they call Jesus cries out, I do thirst. The insults continue, but I've had my fill. I say, we deserve this for what we thought was a thrill. We got what was coming from the choices we made, but that's not the case with him, I'm afraid. There's no fault within him. He's innocent for sure. And yet he still hangs there, and I watch him endure. I realize this moment requires my all. So I turn to the Christ, and on his name I call. Jesus, remember me when you reach your kingdom. He says, I'll be with him. And then he says, it is done. It was quite a journey. I've not left my chair, but I look at my life and I'm sure I was there. My sin hung there with him. It was nailed to that tree. I must make a choice. Which thief there was me? The one I have chosen, I pray you do too, is to cry out to Jesus, let me be with you. So my life did not end as it looked like it would. It is only beginning on this Friday called good. Father, thank you for this time that we could share tonight and this week, praying and learning about prayer and committing ourselves to be devoted to prayer. Father, we do also thank you for the reminder of this week, the cost that Jesus paid willingly for our sin. And Father, as we remember that crucifixion, the horrific endurance that he went through to pay the penalty that we deserve, we also remember the death, the burial, but the resurrection the end to the penalty of death. And so, Father, help us to remain faithful until Jesus comes. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being here throughout the week as you could. And I know many of you were able to be here each session and some were not. But I've enjoyed our gatherings. Over the next 7 or 8 weeks, I'll actually be teaching one of our Wednesday night classes on prayer as well. And some of it will kind of overlap a little bit of what we've done, but really looking at it more as using the spiritual disciplines in connection with prayer. That'll be one of the Wednesday night options through April and May, in addition to the other Wednesday night class. I think Val's women's class is still continuing. I'm not sure what the Love and Respect series is still going. So, again, thanks for coming. And may I.
Thank you.
You're welcome.